Amen. Amen. Well, what an evening. I do plan on getting you out on time tonight. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. In fact, go ahead and turn to 34. We'll skip a little bit tonight. And just want to challenge our young people, maybe so more tonight than usual, and just encourage them. And I think one of the greatest kings that would illustrate for us and for the youth, and that is King Josiah. We touched on him a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night about how Josiah was a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and he was. What a tremendous king Josiah was. Josiah came to reign and came to the throne at the age of 8 years old. And what a tremendous, tremendous impact he had on Judah. Let's go ahead and just read just a couple of verses here. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 27. The Bible says, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord." Verse 28, "Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. Let's pray. We thank you today, Lord, for your love. And we thank you for just the presentation tonight of our graduates and what a blessing it is to see them come to this step in life. We do pray that you would encourage them in the Lord, so that you would see about giving them that light and helping them to be the testimony they ought to be, God, and just encouraging them to go forward and to live for thee. And we thank thee for what you're going to do. Pray that you bless tonight in the services. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 that God refers to Josiah as having a tender heart. And in Kings, the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 23, it says, "And like unto him," talking about Josiah, "and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses." I say all of us could learn from this. All of us need a tender heart. You see, Josiah had come to power, had come to reign in a time when Israel had turned their back on God. There was a power shift among the nations of the world, and Assyria was now giving way to the great kingdom of Babylon. In fact, Josiah reigned from 640 to 609 B.C., and if you remember, the date of the Babylonian captivity, or at least the beginning of the Babylonian captivity, was 606, so just 3 years after Josiah died, the first captivity of Nebuchadnezzar coming down to Jerusalem and taking some of the children of Israel into captivity took place. So this is that time frame in which we're talking about. We understand and know that Josiah's father, Manasseh, the Bible says he did evil in the sight of God. For 55 years he reigned in Jerusalem and did evil in the sight of God. Lived a wicked, wicked life. In fact, there was worship of Baal, and there were many other wicked things going on, worship of creatures and sacrificing of children to Baal and other gods. It was just a terrible, terrible, wicked, idolatrous time in which Josiah came to the throne. Now, at the end of Manasseh's life, of the king Manasseh, Manasseh did have a conversion take place. I believe we'll see Manasseh in heaven. But certainly not all the reformation had taken place in the kingdom of Judah. And so Josiah comes to reign and he becomes the last good king, if you would, to rule over Judah. Except we know the last king one day will reign. Messiah, amen? Again, he reigned for 31 years. 31 years. If you look with me in chapter 34 once again, We're not going to go through the entire chapter. Just look there at verse 1. And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Can I just tell you, first off, that Josiah stayed on the straight and narrow, if you would. He stayed on the right path. Just tell our teenagers tonight, stay on the right path. And there's been a great legacy laid for you by your parents and grandparents, many of you. If not, you've been saved and baptized, some of you in this church, and you know what way is right. You know what way is right. By the way, adults, we know what way is right. We know the right path. Let us stay on the right path. Go neither to the right nor to the left. For in the 8 years of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God of David, his father. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images, and they were all high above them. He cut down the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He brake in pieces and made dust of them. He strode them upon the graves. I love this part. He strode them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. So all those who had sacrificed unto Baal, he took all those and broke up the idols and the groves and so forth, and then scattered the ashes upon the graves of those priests that had worshipped Baal. I think he was a little passionate, don't you? A little passionate about the straight and narrow. A little passionate about not going to the right or to the left hand. Maybe we ought to be a little more passionate about it. You know, just a little more passionate about what's right and what's wrong and staying on that straight and narrow. And I just tell our teenagers, let's just be passionate about it. Listen, you're going to be confronted with things in college that you haven't been confronted with yet. You're going to go into a professor who believes in, you know, that we came from monkeys, and you're going to have to, you know, in your test, you're going to have to write down the answer he wants. You're going to be confronted with that. But you're going to have to stay in your own mind. I know what's right. I know where the straight and narrow is. And be passionate about it. Be passionate about it with your friends and with your new friends you create in college. And stay on the straight and narrow. You're going to be confronted. I think this is another area that we need to be careful about when we send our teenagers off to college. You're going to be confronted with the kind of church you attend. And whether or not you're going to stray on the straight and narrow. Whether or not you're going to compromise the contemporary movement and compromise with the King James Version and compromise with your music. You're going to be confronted with that. And you have to decide. Your parents, well, by the way, let me preface this by saying, if mom and daddy pay the bills in college, mom and daddy still make the rules. So they would determine who your friends are. They would determine where you go to school. I'm just dumb, man. Parents, it's pretty level. If you pay the bills, you make the rules. Make the rules. And if they don't like the rules, then you take the money away. That's the way it goes. Pretty passionate about that myself. Say, preacher, wait. Wait and watch. That's the way it is in my house. And that's the way it'll be. It's the way it was when I was growing up. Teenagers, listen. You know the right way. You know the right path. Stay on the straight and narrow. Be passionate about it. Man, when you're confronted with evolution, be passionate about creationism. When you're confronted with these Gnostics and just God haters, just be passionate about being a God lover, you know? Just be passionate about it. When you're confronted, don't be mean and so forth, but be passionate about what you believe. Amen? That's the only way you're going to make it. If you don't really believe what you believe, if you don't know why you believe what you believe, you won't stay on the straight and narrow. You'll get off to the right or to the left hand. We'll stay passionate. Parents, let's stay passionate about what we believe. Amen? Now, I preface that by saying there's a place to be passionate, there's a place not to be passionate. You know, don't fail a test because you're trying to be passionate about what you believe, okay? All right, that's my advice from your parents would give you the same advice. I remember my dad saying in high school, write down what they want. Write down what they want. And out beside it, write down what you think. And in high school that worked. I didn't get in trouble for doing that. But in college you might get in trouble for writing down beside it what you think. And so be careful. If you want to make the stand, make the stand. Amen? If it's on a test you want to make the stand, go ahead. But honestly, be careful. Amen. Be passionate about what you believe. Oh, Josiah was passionate. Broke down the altars, broke down the groves, spread the ashes of those idols upon the priests' graves, of those who worshipped Baal and these other gods. What a passion he had. 2 Kings refers to the influence of a godly mother upon Josiah's life. Can I just remind you parents that we have such a great impact on our children? Josiah, no doubt, had an ungodly father, but certainly had a godly mother. Boy, the impact we can have on our children. Staying the right path. By the time he was 20 years of age, he was ready to begin religious reforms. And it said that he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and carved images, molten images. The account goes on again to say that he threw them, those ashes upon the priests. That's just amazing to me. His reforms reached all the way into the northern kingdom. And at the age of 26, he turned his attention to cleansing the temple. Not only cleansing the temple, but to repair the temple. And while the repair was underway, a discovery was made. And most of y'all remember the count. Point number two tonight is, stay the right path, but number two, that path is prescribed for us by the Bible. The straight and narrow is given to us. The guide is given to us by the Bible. The Bible was found in the temple. The book of the law was discovered. It was read. Look there with me in verse 14. It says, now after that he was built the wall without the city. I'm sorry, no, I'm not on the right path. Look at verse 14. And when they had brought out the money and brought out into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And it goes on to say that he delivered that book unto the king. And it was read before the king in verse 18. And verse 19, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. Josiah begins to seek counsel. We see that Josiah followed the book. He immediately upon knowing the right path, and he immediately upon knowing the way that Israel was to go, he followed that path. Immediately he rent his clothes. Can I just challenge you again? Follow the book. Follow the book. Follow the Bible. Parents will fail you. Grandparents will fail you. But the Word of God will never fail you. You see, I can give my opinion as to what I think you should do on a test, but you need to search that from the Lord yourself. Follow the book. It'll never let you down. Amen? Parents, it will never let you down. Follow the book. This is our guide for every area in life. I was talking with my wife about what we're going to do when they come into this building and drill these piers. We're going to be out of the auditorium for a week or two. And so on Sunday morning, it's pretty easy what we're going to do. We'll meet over in the cafeteria of the school over here for the adults, and the kids can still meet here. They'll still be able to use the classrooms. And we'll still have Sunday school and all those things. But Sunday night and Wednesday nights are going to be tough. I said, well, that'll be easy. We'll still meet in this building. And instead of having an open, auditorium, which we won't have, we'll meet all in classrooms. And what we'll do is we'll have, for the adults, we'll have three or four electives that you can take. You have to sign up for them. And you can sign up for these electives. And so I would like to teach one on parenting. I mean specifically on parenting children. What the Bible has to say about raising kids. That's what I would like to teach on. And then we'll have Brother Wiggins teach on one, maybe Brother Brandon or even one of our other men teach on another, whatever elective it may be. But can I tell you that the Bible has the answer to all of life's questions. The Bible has the answer to every problem you face. The Bible has the answer to raising children. The Bible has the answer to your finances. The Bible has the answer to every temptation that you ever face. The Bible is the answer, has the answer. And teenagers, follow the Bible. Don't follow man's advice or man's counsel or opinions. Follow the Bible. Follow the Bible. As you are faced in college with questions that maybe you cannot answer. Somebody came to my office today and said, hey, look, this is what somebody had said this to me, and I went and looked it up in the Bible. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Somebody comes and asks you a question you don't know the answer to, go study your Bible. One of the greatest impacts in my own life is when we knock doors and somebody comes to the door and you face a challenge you haven't faced before. Somebody asks a question of you that you don't have the answer for. You know what it does to me? It makes me get in the Bible and find the answer. And what I'm saying, teenager, listen, the Bible is our guide. And when you're faced with questions that you do not have an answer for, go to the book. You say, well, I was this on baptism or on salvation or on modesty or on whatever it may be. Go to the Bible. Go to the book. Get your answers. Just don't take somebody's opinion. I'd challenge you maybe to keep a little journal. And in the journal, just write the questions down and go find the answers and write the answers down. Amen? Follow the book. That's the second point. Last one, the testimony of Josiah. We know that 13 years passed. Josiah saw a great reformation take place in his nation and his country. And man, God blessed him. And it was just amazing what God had done. And there had been no Passover in Judah. And he implemented the Passover there in 2 Chronicles 35. Great spiritual reformation to take place. And I don't have time to go through in my, it's not the particulars of my message, but if you'll go through and you'll watch those couple of chapters there in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, you will notice, and some of you may wonder, why did they fall into captivity just 3 years after he died? One of the things you'll notice in the commentary it gives you about the reformations taking place and about the religious spiritual revival taking place, you'll see several times where it says, and he made them. I thought that's interesting. For some of you who want to go back and read, it says, and he made them. And he made them. You see, Josiah made his people conform. Go back and read it. You'll see it several times. You see, it was an outward revival that took place. It was not an inward revival that took place in Josiah's time. And as soon as their spiritual leader died, as soon as Josiah died, it went right back to the way it was. Well, let us remember the revival starts in the heart. Amen? Revival starts here. Revival starts on the inside. But Josiah had such a great impact on his nation. 13 years had passed and he was such a great king. And he went to challenge, again, remember now, Assyria had, their capital had already been captured and been taken over by the Babylonians. And so the Assyrians retreated back and established a new capital there in Carchemish. And the Egyptian king decided, hey, I'm going to go up and help the Assyrians against the Babylonians. And Josiah was watching all this take place from Jerusalem. And Josiah decided and prayed and said, you know what? If the Egyptian army goes up and helps the Assyrians and the Assyrians prevail against the Babylonians, he believed that that would negatively impact Jerusalem. He decided to cut off the Egyptian army, to attack the Egyptian army that was on their way to the northern kingdom at that same area. And when he did, Israel was defeated, Judah was defeated, and Josiah died. But what's important is that 200 years, listen to this, 200 years after his passing, 200 years after Josiah died, his people, the people of Judah, continued to mourn the passing of Josiah. 200 years later. What a testimony. Can I tell you, teenagers, guard your testimony. What you do in college doesn't matter as far as your character and your integrity. Guard your testimony. Guard your reputation. Can I remind us adults? Guard your testimony. Guard your reputation. Josiah stayed on the straight and narrow, neither to the right hand nor to the left. Josiah followed the book, a man of the book, and Josiah had a testimony, a very godly and wonderful testimony. Let us follow his example. Let us follow the book. Let us build a testimony that others will talk about now and in the future. Amen. Let's all stand.